of stove that we've sent from Blossoms. It says, "Dear Pastor Tadlock and church family, greetings. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for the generous love gift of $75 that you gave to Brother Horatio Lopez for the young boy's foot surgery. We pray that the Lord will bless you abundantly for your generosity and faithfulness. We deeply appreciate your burden for our missionaries and the work here at the Mission Board. May God send his richest blessings your way." People, God is using Blossoms in ways that we probably never even dreamed of.
Yeah.
But it's God working through his people. And we see this in the life of Joseph, how the sovereignty of God has worked and moved him. Even now that he's in prison, and if you turn your Bibles to Genesis, we want to continue there in the book of Genesis, where Joseph now is being thrown in jail. Genesis 39. And he's thrown in jail, and he's going through this up and down period of his life. And all this is because he's doing what's right. Starting in verse, you get to the right chapter here. Starting in verse 20 of chapter 39, Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? And the Lord was with him, and what he did, the Lord caused it to prosper. Remember Potiphar's house?
Amen.
So, we're continuing this series, From Pit to Power in God's Hour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for the services this morning, for Sunday School Hour. We thank you, Lord, for those visitors that you brought. I pray, Lord, that you fill this church up. And Lord, we know that you can do it, but Lord, we know that you're going to use your people to go out and win souls. And Lord, we just pray for your guidance and direction. Lord, we want to follow you. Lord, we want to do what you have us to do, Father. Lord, bless this church behind Carly C's. Be with our missionaries, Father. Lord God, be with those Christians, especially those we've heard about the other week, that Lord, over 3,000 alone, just the first 6 months of this year, 3,000 Christians were murdered in Nigeria. The first 6 months of this year. And Lord, we have it easy here in the United States. Lord, we don't have to fear about being killed, being put in prison right now. But yet, Lord, your people have become lazy in the things of God. Lord, wake us up. Lord, when the redeemed of the Lord say so, they just didn't say, and that's it, where they did. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. God, help us, please. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As I said earlier, Joseph now is in prison. And he's in prison because of doing right. Last week we saw how Potiphar's evil wife was. We saw that she was a demanding woman. She laid her hands on Joseph after numerous times of trying to seduce him. Now she goes and puts her hand on him. And Joseph leaves. She was also dramatic in her reaction when Joseph fled from her. She was accusing Joseph of rape and being over dramatic of the situation. When Joseph left, he left because he didn't want to do anything wrong. But yet here she is accusing to even go forward to saying that he was trying to rape her. She was a deceiver because she deceived not only the workers in her house by telling them, look what Joseph's done, but she also deceived her husband, convincing not only the workers there in the house, but her husband that Joseph tried to rape her. But we did see the determined Joseph, how Joseph constantly refused her advances and seductive ways. But yet we see after all the good that Joseph has done, he's put in prison now. Remember, he was put in the pit because he went to go check on his brothers because he was having these dreams, and his brothers saw these dreams he was having, and Joseph would come to him, and his brothers were getting pretty jealous. They were tired of hearing their youngest brother's dreams, and they just got tired of it, so they even thought about even killing him. But he heard about his brother, said, no, let's just put him away for a little bit, with the mind of getting his brother back to his father. But yet, when he went away for a little bit, his brothers put him in that pit and then drug him up out of the pit and sold him to this band of people that was coming through. And now he's in Egypt. And the Potiphar buys him, and he's a servant. He's outside. He's working as a slave, and he's doing everything he can. Hard manual labor, and Potiphar's noticing, okay, this is something to this Joseph here. Everything he does is a big blessing. I can't believe it. So he started out, he was working hard and working manual labor. He sees all this, and he brings him in his house to be overseer of his house. And the only thing he was concerned with was coming home and eating. That's the only thing he had to do, was come home and eat. Why? Because Joseph was taking care of the house. Joseph was overseer. But now his wife steps in. And now we said last week that as Joseph was out there working, she didn't pay him no mind. But now he comes inside, he cleaned up, he's probably shaved and probably got some of that Gillette perfume, not perfume, but aftershave on, you know, got some smell good on. And she's thinking, wow, Joseph, you cleaned up pretty good. And when things are going well, that's when Satan steps in. Mm-hmm. You do what's right for the Lord, I guarantee you, Satan's going to try to do everything to hinder. You know, the choir was singing, ain't nothing going to steal my joy. I'll tell you what, Satan's going to do everything he can to steal.
That's right.
He's going to do everything he can to steal. But I want you to see this too. Joseph just didn't sit down in prison and say, I give up. God, you've abandoned me. I'm in prison. I've done what you've asked me to do. I've served you. I've lived right for you. And I'm in prison now because I did the right thing. You know, Joseph could have sat down and said, you know what? I'm done. How many Christians would do that? Well, let me say this. Quite a bit of churches closed because of COVID. I think they pretty much sat down and gave up, didn't they? You know, it's bad when you look at the churches that used to be open and now they're closed for good because of the Spirit. People might ask, what if, and I'm going to mention this later on. Look, God's not looking for what ifs. He's looking for even ifs. He wants men like Caleb. He wants men that will go in and look and say, yeah, we can take this. We can take this. And these other men come back and say, oh, no, we can't take them. These guys are so big, they'll make us look like grasshoppers. You've heard that saying, I haven't seen you since your knee high, that grasshopper?
Yeah.
Well, I don't even think they were even that big. These guys are huge. I don't think we can take them, boss man. But Joshua and Caleb said, oh, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. Why? Because they weren't what ifs, they were even ifs. They knew God was going to be in them. They knew God was going to be with them. And they knew what God was going to do. But Joseph, he didn't give up either. He was an even if guy. You see, Joseph is wrong by Potiphar. We see Joseph didn't make any defense by telling the truth of what happened. Maybe it would reflect too much upon Potiphar's wife. Maybe Potiphar would not hear it all or believe it. There's no remedy now. Joseph is condemned to prison. Here's where the sovereignty of God steps in too. Listen to this. But God restrained Potiphar's wrath, else he would have put Joseph to death. The wrath which imprisoned Joseph by God's sovereignty will prove the way, will pave the way to Joseph's notable stance in Egypt. He was committed to the king's prison that he might be preferred to the king's person. Listen to this. Many an action of false imprisonment will be found to lie against the enemies and persecutors of God's people. I'll say it again. Many an action of false imprisonment will be found to lie against the enemies and persecutors of God's people. Remember that old saying, it's going to come back to haunt you. It's going to come back. If I'm ever in prison, I want to be called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'll say this. Comes to that point where pastors need to get locked up. Do not shut Harvest Baptist Church down. I want the gospel to continue to be preached and taught here. Amen. Don't fear what man can do. Don't fear what man can do. Fear him. And when I say fear, I'm going to disrespect you. Give him the ultimate respect. Give him his due reverence. You follow him. Amen? Remain steadfast in the will of God. You see, God was with Joseph even in prison. No gates nor bars can shut out his gracious presence from his people. For he has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We see that with Jesus' disciples and with Apostle Paul. Even in death, Jesus will take us by the hand and lead us home. And yes, I believe there's coming a day where they may say, look, you open the doors of our back to church. We will come to rest. It's already happened in Canada this year. There was a church in Canada that would not shut down. Wouldn't back down from the government. The government came in. They arrested the pastor. And they put two circles of fencing around the church. That's after this year. That's in Canada. It can happen in Canada. It can happen right here in the United States of America. My question for you, or are you going to be determined like Joseph and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to keep pushing on? And this is something that you're going to have to determine in your heart and mind right now. And you're going to have to ask for the Lord's help. Don't say, well, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. No. None of us can do this without God's help. We need God's help. The attainment of Joseph. Giving and preaching the gospel, people, when it becomes a crime, where are you thinking it's going to be? Is it going to be God or man? Like I said, God's not looking for what is, he's looking for even is. Turn over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. This is a very familiar passage of scripture with three Hebrew children. fiery furnace. But I want you to see how the three Hebrew children answered the king. I like this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. We'll read the verses 16, 17, and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know basically what they're saying to the king? We're not going to beat around the bush. This is how it is. We're just going to be blunt. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But listen to this. Let me know if this is a what if or even if, okay? But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Even if, right? Even if. People, you know what's wrong with this country today? We've got a bunch of what ifs. We've got a bunch of what ifs. When people start saying what ifs, what ifs, what ifs, what ifs, what ifs, they're starting to fear, aren't they? But they say, look, even if I'm put in prison, even if I'm hauled off to the police car, even if I'm sent to Central Prison in North Carolina, even if you cut my head off, I will not back down from the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power. It is the power. It's not just a little bitty thing that you throw in the ground and goes. Remember the little cracker things that you throw on the ground and beep? No, we're talking about dynamite here. How many of you ever worked with dynamite before? Raise your hand. When I was in high school, I had a friend that was coal mining. And of course, you know, this is pre 9/11 now, so pretty much at that time you could get your hands on stuff. Well, he had dynamite. And we blew some stumps out. He had a big field. We was going to plant some hay in that field, and but we had some stumps we had to blow out. And I remember digging a hole, putting the jelly sticks in, running the line out. We had a tractor near his barn, enough to where we would hit the hot wire tube. We'd run inside, but we knew what was going to happen. So he said, Dave, take this wire right here, and do this. I said, all right. He said, as soon as you hit it, you run inside the barn now. I said, all right. So he's got his tractor in the doorway right here. I mean, bang! And while I ran, why? Because stuff was falling down. That dynamite went off. And everybody within a mile knew it too. Probably a couple miles. But it was fun. But ATM, I don't have any dynamite at the house, just want to let you know, okay? This is the power of dynamite. Are we going to be whatever or even? Joseph's in prison. And he's sitting there. You know what? I don't know why this is going on, but I believe and trust in my God. He doesn't give up. He's an even if guy. He displays the trust. We want to see this here. Display of trust. We see in these three verses. Number one, we see that Joseph's display of trust in God is a remarkable work that God is working in Joseph's heart. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of prison. And then we see the jailer's trust in Joseph, because the jailer saw how God has used Joseph. Therefore, the jailer puts Joseph in control of the prisoners. Seems to me that when Potiphar first hired Joseph on, and then Joseph became the overseer, now Joseph is basically like the overseer here in this prison. Even in him, you can see a difference when God is working through his sheep. He or she might not like this person, may talk evil of this person, but there will know something is different about you, that person. Because of Joseph's trust in God and for his love for the one and only true God, even in the bad times, God is preparing Joseph for what will be a great outcome. Joseph very easily could have given up, like I said, and say there's no use to keep going. But what did Job say in Job 13:15? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Is that a what if or even if? Psalms 124, verse 2, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people unto me. In fact, the phrases, I trust in thee, or trust in the Lord, is mentioned 9 times in the book of Psalms. That word trust is an action word meaning to rely or depend on, have confidence in, to expect with assurance, with display of trust. Joseph relied on and expected with assurance that God was in control of that situation he was in, with the expectation that something good was going to come out of these situations. Like the song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. Yet the jailer finds Joseph to be a good man. When you put Joseph in charge, he didn't have to worry about a prison riot. He didn't have to worry about someone escaping. He didn't have to worry about Joseph escaping. Because he trusted Joseph. Why? Because he seen what God was doing through Joseph's life. And I want us to see, lastly, the decisive behavior. That word decisive means determined, resolute. See, Joseph's behavior that enabled other people to trust him was the determination not to give up on the one true God. As God worked through Joseph, he also gave him the resolution to remain steadfast in his actions and in his worship. Joseph is not long a prisoner before he becomes a little ruler, even in the prison. The keeper saw that God was with him and that everything prospered under his hand. Therefore, trusted him with the management of the affairs of the prison. The keeper didn't have, like I said, to be concerned about a prison escape or some kind of rebellion. A good man will do good wherever he is and will be a blessing, even in the bond and banishment. For the Spirit of the Lord is not bound or banished. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. Remember when I said that Elvis didn't have the jailhouse on first? Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord into all that were in his house. And he took him the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Sound like to me there was some even if God's in there. They shut the prison doors. I think Paul looked at Silas. Silas looked at Paul. They looked at everybody, or probably everybody else is like this, probably grumbling and all that. I want you to imagine this now. Paul and Silas looked at each other. Enough, it's pretty dead in here. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I believe after they did that, they started looking around. Some of the guys were looking up like this. They said, hold on, we're not finished yet. We got some more. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Now they come more alive, and people start singing. They say, what is this, guys? I don't know, they got some good voices, don't they? Yeah, yeah. Now I can see them right now. They're probably, yeah, yeah, doing this, and they get louder and louder and louder and louder. All of a sudden, jail starts rocking, don't it? All of a sudden, they're like, hey, something else is going on here. Why? Because they were even in. They didn't give up. They took the beatings. They were in pain. But they could help. Let me ask you this. Those of us who have been saved, what are we going to do when the time comes? Where are you going? Be like three Hebrew children? Or are we going to be like Paul and Silas? Are we going to be like Joseph? Just keep on keeping on. Keep on doing what's right. Keep on living for the Lord. What would happen if I came down this evening on network news and say, okay, with everything that's going on now, we want all churches closed.
Yeah. Okay.
There's going to be churches that are going to close.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's already happened. But I'd like for Harvest Baptist Church, by the grace and the help of our good Lord, say this, even if. And guess what? You throw us in prison, even if. We're going to continue to proclaim our grace. We're going to keep on doing what God expects us to do. Joseph's in prison. But as we saw four different times in chapter 39. Four different times. The Lord was living. Who am I to fear? The evidence is here. promise never to leave us nor forsake us. When it seems like everything you do has been right, and nobody wants to have anything to do with it, everybody's chastising, everybody's poking fun at you because you're doing life right in the Lord's house. Just remember this. Do right by God. Do right by God. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because this is just temporary down here. This is all just temporary. As Brother Terry mentioned this morning in Sunday school, where are we focusing? I believe if we focus on the things of God in us, once we take our last breath, what's on the other side, once we think about that, it's going to be a lot better. This is, just, for Christians, this is as close as the help we want to get. But if you're not saved, this is as close as the heaven you're going to get fast to eternity without Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, the way things are going down here right now, this is making hell look like a Sunday school picnic. Because I have yet to see anybody beg for somebody just to stick their finger in a glass of water and just put it on their tongue. How many of you ever worked out on a farm in a field when it was about 100 degrees outside? How many of you have ever experienced 135 degree heat, actual heat? Now, I don't know about you, but when I was doing that or experiencing that kind of heat, I just didn't want somebody to stick their finger in a thing, glass of water, put on my tongue. I wanted a whole case of water to hear about. Amen? I wanted some water, and I wanted it thin, and I could chug some water. And you had to be careful about how much you drink and how quick you drink because you get sick. But you didn't want just a drop. You know, you seen the movies across the desert, and they go like that. No, I don't want that. Give me a whole bottle and give me another. One drop of water just that is a forever, ever, ever eternal situation that you'll never get out of. It's a place you'll never get out of. It's the most excruciating pain that you'll ever feel. It's the most chaotic situation you're ever going to find yourself in. It's eternal. Wherever it goes on and on and on. And I don't know about y'all, I can't fathom the tongue. I think. Are people going to hell? And the church is saying what is? And closing the door. And yet, suicides are up. Families are getting torn apart. Kids, teenagers, suicides are up. And I heard the other day that this fall, this thing that happened in Afghanistan, that the veterans' suicide has gone sky high. I wonder how how we have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. As he was. That may have heard it years ago. But I know this. Our job down here is not to believe. Something to do with something. There's a whole world going on out there. Needs to hear the good news. They need to see in Joseph. They need to say, hey, you know what? There's something different about that guy. They need to see in Joseph. They need to hear the word of God. But they need to see God in us. One thing to say you're a Christian is another thing to live a Christian. We got too many talkers. Not many doers. Many doers of the word, not just hearers of it. What are we going to be? What if? Or even? Please.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Are you ready to see? Amen.